Our next speaker will be Akinyele Umoja from the New African People's Organization, and he will continue to address the issue of the existence of the black nation in the Black Belt South and add something to the discussion that we've had up to now concerning that whole thing in the South. Akinyele.
On behalf of the New African People's Organization, New African Independence Movement, and New African political prisoners and prisoners of war, Geronimo Pratt, Mutulu Shakur, Brother Sekou Odinga, Kodjo Bomani, I'd like to greet you all in the spirit of Malcolm. Malcolm taught us that land is the basis of independence. Free the land.
Free the land.
Free the land.
Free the land.
It's a good time to come behind my brother and mentor, Brother Saladin Muhammad. A lot of what I know about the struggle, particularly the struggle for land, was informed by working with him when I was about 18, 19 years old. I won't tell you how old he was then. But I'd like to make a few comments before I get into what I had to prepare today. Just in terms of how we look at the struggle, a lot of us have been talking about this week as Malcolm X as a Northern phenomena. Well, Malcolm wasn't exclusively a Northern phenomena or influence on the struggle in the North. No, he had influence on the struggle in the South, and he was tied to the struggle from the South. First of all, you got to realize where Malcolm's father was from. You know, people have talked about this week Malcolm's father being a Garveyite and the influence he had on Malcolm's thinking. Well, Malcolm's father's from Georgia. And we look at most people of African descent in this country, we come from that Black Belt South. Okay, we got to look at even when Malcolm joined the Nation of Islam in 1955, he was in Atlanta, Georgia, setting up the first meeting of the Nation of Islam, Temple Number 15, in Atlanta, Georgia, as he set up many of the chapters around the country. And when we go into the history of that organization, we know that while he was in the Nation of Islam, he mentioned, as it's been pointed out in this conference, that his greatest disappointment was that the Nation of Islam wasn't involved in the front line of that movement, and that's what Malcolm wanted to be. In fact, many of the struggles that were going on, Malcolm tried to support them in his way. Many of us know about the struggle in Monroe, North Carolina, against the Ku Klux Klan, where forces like Robert Williams were organizing self-defense groups against the Ku Klux Klan. Well, Malcolm brought Williams to New York and raised money for them to buy guns. Malcolm's very much involved in that Southern struggle. And when he leaves the Nation of Islam, the day he left the Nation of Islam, he had an invitation to come to Plaquemines Parish in Louisiana to support the struggle there. The forces down there, the segregationists said if Malcolm came to the city, he would have been arrested if he got inside the parish. Malcolm very much influenced. Who invited him? He had to have been influenced somebody down there for them to invite him. He didn't say he was going to go. He was invited to come to Plaquemines Parish. He came to Selma, Alabama when King was in jail and spoke to the students down there and talked to the students in SNCC during that particular time. He talked to the students from Mississippi who came to New York on tour. He talked with Fannie Lou Hamer. He had plans and always talked about going to the South and expanding the struggle in the South and aiding the struggle for self-defense to complement the things that Dr. King and others were doing down in the South. And then we see even after his death, what? We see students in SNCC who before were afraid to talk to Malcolm from their own admission, began to talk about black power, began to embrace the nationalism of Malcolm X, the self-defense expression of Malcolm X. So we cannot just see this as a Northern struggle that's nationalist because all the people in the North were nationalists, or a Southern struggle that was just integrationist and nonviolence. No, we have to get deeper into our history. So let me get into what we're changing the tape, so we got to record the history as I just talked about history. I'm going to lose this. I mentioned that my organization, or the organization I belong to, the New African People's Organization, is a part of the New African Independence Movement. And I don't want to, you know, a lot of times we throw out all these terms. I just want to explain what that is. The New African Independence Movement is that part of the black liberation movement that has historically called for an independent nation state for African people inside the United States, particularly in the South. It's not nothing that was created in 1968 or not even anything that was created in 1928. I mean, many of us know that Nat Turner was trying to get land in the South. We knew that Denmark Vesey back in 1822 was trying to get land in the South. We knew that Gabriel Prosser not only was trying to get land, the man had a flag that said liberty or death. They were trying to get land. Okay, they weren't talking about going back to Africa at that particular point. They weren't going to put the land up on the ship. No, they're going to flag up on the ship. No, they're going to plant it in some land. That was their objective during that particular time. Henry Highland Garnett, many figures talked about land. Henry Highland Garnett said during the 1850s, if our people didn't establish a nationality in the South, then he would be surprised of the spirit of our people. So it's a historical struggle. It doesn't come from any groups in the 60s. We're a continuation of that struggle. Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad were both part of that tradition. We call ourselves and our organization New Africans because we agree with Malcolm. We're not Americans. We're victims of Americanism. Okay? We're not Americans. Okay? We say we're New Africans because we come from various African ethnic groups. We were part of the Igbo. We were part of Yoruba, Angola, all these different African ethnic groups. And when we came to this country, when we were brought, our ancestors were brought here, we merged into a unique new African people. Yes, we're still African, an African people. But just as you got Zimbabweans today, just as you got people in Ghana, I mean, we are new Africans. This is our nationality, or at least this is what we choose to call, our organization chooses to label or identify our nationality inside the United States. So we are new African people. Africa is still our ancestral homeland, but we're new African people. The present day New African independence movement believes that all the land in America upon which we have lived for a long time, which we have worked and built upon, and which we have fought to stay on, is land that belongs to us as a people. The New African independence movement identifies the Black Belt South, particularly the states of Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina, not limited to, but particularly, as the New African National Territory. The Black Belt consists of counties in these states and others in the southeastern portion of the United States Empire. And why I say it's an empire, we don't believe it's a homogeneous nation. We recognize, we had a person here from Mexico speaking the other day. We recognize that the states out there in the Southwest is nothing but northern Mexico. How can the United States talk about Iraq invading Kuwait? Talk about somebody violating international law. And all these 50 so-called states are nothing but an empire that was snatched from Puerto Rican people, Native Americans, Mexican people, and then brought our ancestors here and enslaved us. It's nothing but an empire, just like Rome or England or any other empire historically. So the Black Belt is the part of the Southeast where our people have been historically been in the majority. The economy of the Black Belt has been historically dependent on New African labor. Why we call the Black Belt and bordering areas the New African National Territory? First, we have a historical relationship to this land. First, it is this territory where we merged from various African ethnic groups into a new African people with a unique history, culture, and consciousness. This is the land our enslaved African ancestors till without pay for over three centuries and for nearly a century as sharecroppers. This is the land where our people demanded after the Civil War, calling for 40 acres and a mule, and even attempted to establish new African governments, only to be subjugated by the United States Army and the Ku Klux Klan. This is the land we have had to fight to stay on in the face of a white supremacist apartheid system and white terrorist violence. The majority of our people have lived in the Black Belt or bordering regions from the days of our enslavement up to this very minute. Prior to the so-called emancipation in 1863, over 95% of the new African population lived in the South. During the wake of the 20th century in 1910, 90% of the new African people lived in the Black Belt and southern border regions. Millions of new Africans were forced to leave the South due to the Ku Klux Klan terrorism and economic violence and white supremacist control apartheid South. The new African refugees from the Black Belt seldom found relief in ghetto reservations of the northern and western portions of the empire. Since 1970, though, the migration of new Africans to the South has significantly outnumbered those leaving the region. Today, over 53% of the new African population inside the empire lives in the South, and this percentage is rising. the South continues to have a greater concentration of new Africans than any region within the empire. In 1980, according to the United States Census, there were over 90 counties in the empire which new Africans constituted a majority of the population. Of these counties, all of these counties were in the South. In the same year, 224 local areas or places had a new African majority. Three-fourths of these new African majority places were in the South. These new African majority counties and places in the South consist of large metropolitan centers for Atlanta, New Orleans, Richmond, Virginia, Birmingham, and also small urban municipalities and rural areas. If we're to achieve true black power, if we want to have self-determination, if we want to be able to freely develop ourselves as a people, we must organize ourselves to gain control of our lives, labor, and land in the black belt. In the South, our people have the greatest potential due to our numbers and concentration to wage a struggle for control of state power. It is only in the new African national territory, the black belt, where we can achieve an independent nationhood. It is our territory in the South where we can best gain enough collective strength to determine our economic, cultural, and social affairs. NAPO believes self-determination can be achieved through a national liberation struggle focused in the South. We believe our people will never have full democracy without the ability to control our own affairs. This is why Brother Malcolm stated late in his life, a true Negro revolt might entail, for instance, fighting for separate black states within the country. He defined revolution in terms of having sovereign control of territory. Revolutions are fought to get control of the land, to remove the absentee landlord and gain control of the land and the institutions that flow from the land. The black man has been in a very low condition because he has no control whatsoever over any land. The growth and influence of electronic mass media during the 60s played a significant role in shifting the primary concentration of the black liberation movement in the South to the North and to the West. The media began to emphasize human rights struggles in northern and western ghetto reservations. New African organizers who had helped develop freedom organizations for political power in the black belt abandoned the southern struggle, drawn by the potential of spontaneous new African uprisings in the northern and western urban centers. The Watts Rebellion, or revolt, the Detroit Revolt in 67, and also the Newark Revolt, 67. For example, while human rights struggles in northern and western urban centers were heroic, significant, and necessary, the potential for seizing independent black state power did not exist in either region. The South is the only region within the empire. We as a people have the potential to seize state power and develop political independence. It must be of central importance to our overall movement. While attention is focused to other regions, the southern struggle continues. In some black belt counties, white minorities control local governments and repress new African majorities. Blakely, Georgia is an example of this. Known Ku Klux Klan members run police and fire departments in Blakely. In 1988, a new African child died as a result of a decision by the fire department to let a black home burn down. And this is not the only case of them allowing black homes to burn down in that county. Without the control of political institutions which control their lives, new Africans are subject to genocide. In several other communities of the black belt and border areas, new African people are engaged in struggles to gain control of the education of our youth. Schools have become the battleground between the forces of white supremacy and the new African human rights. In College Park, Georgia, new African students have been suspended for refusing to stand and salute the American flag. New African youth have been in the front line of the struggle to combat a racist tracking system in the public schools of Selma, Alabama. The Selma education system is systematic of the miseducation of our youth designed to prepare them for genocide while preparing white youth to participate in society. Throughout the South, our youth are demanding an African-centric education and the right to express their culture within a Eurocentric environment. New African workers throughout the South suffer from the lack of a strong trade union movement, low wages, and poor working conditions. The present struggle of New African working women in the Mississippi Delta Farms catfish industry is an example of the condition of black labor in the South. Due to the historical support of New African people for organized labor, many manufacturing firms are avoiding New African majority counties and when moving to the South. New Africans are also losing land at an alarming rate. And particularly in the South Carolina and Georgia Sea Islands, we know that property taxes we have paid higher proportional property taxes, and oftentimes our people unable to pay the property taxes or forced to sell their land to developers and the tourist industry who want that land in the South Carolina and Georgia Sea Islands anyway. And I had other issues I want to talk about, but let me quickly go through something that our organization is attempting to do at this present time to try to link together these particular struggles, as Brother Saladin has talked about, and in trying to build a struggle for self-determination. So I think it's also important we talk about what we're planning to do and what our solutions are. Number one, we're building what we call the Malcolm X grassroots movement. We often know that Malcolm talked about the importance of the struggle in the South. But that, even though that struggle was picked up in the South, as I mentioned earlier, it was kind of diverted away at a particular point. And we have to begin to refocus the center of the struggle in the South, but at the same time, we have to begin to raise the questions of self-determination and human rights in that struggle. We have to raise the struggle that's occurring in the South right now that might, as Brother Saladin mentioned, oftentimes happen in isolated local communities, and people feel not only isolated from the struggle inside the United States, but the struggle around the world, because we don't build international support for those struggles. So we want to build a movement that will put self-determination back on the agenda in the Southern movement. Number one, we want to involve ourselves in these grassroots struggles which challenge oppressor institutions. Place in Selma, where they're challenging the white supremacist school board. At Delta Farms, where they're challenging a white-controlled industry that exploits particularly New African women. We want to support the development of indigenous grassroots leaders and organizations. We recognize the potential and the power that the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee had in the 60s from developing grassroots leaders, not going in, as Brother Saladin mentioned earlier, and claiming themselves the vanguard, but organizing and working with the natural potential and leadership ability of our people, and also learning from the people and the ways the people have used to survive and defeat our enemy in many cases. Developing networks of support and solidarity between of local grassroots resistance in the Black Belt, beginning to link up the struggles in every different area that's going on in the Black Belt. Organizing alternative programs to institutionalize the struggle. Developing youth programs, economic cooperatives, literacy campaigns, community self-defense and community. For the fight for control of institutions which can critically affect our people. Six, to bring international and national focus to human rights struggles in the Black Belt. And seven, promote people's culture and New African national identity in the Black Belt. While he was known as a leader in the Northern ghettos, Malcolm X was very concerned with the struggle in the South. He wanted to expand the struggle of civil rights to human rights. He wanted to provide a revolutionary nationalist alternative in the Southern freedom movement. He wished to complement the nonviolent direct action with armed self-defense. In continuing Malcolm's legacy, it is important we build on the continuous mass resistance of our people's struggle in our national homeland, the Black Belt South. Our people's yearning for freedom and human rights must have a vehicle which we use to defeat our enemies and to build a new order. Building the Malcolm X grassroots movement is a part of this struggle to arm ourselves with organizational vehicles to fight the continuing legacy of Malcolm. Malcolm lives, free the black nation, free the land.